The last game I want to share this week is it's a lengthy one. The shiur won't be lengthy, but the Das HaKinim's comment itself is lengthy. In the Parshas Va'era, Perek Zion, Pasuk Chaf Hei. And admittedly, I don't understand it fully. There is a point that I'm quite unclear on, and I'm happy for anybody to let me know if they do have a proper grasp on it. But I think there's so much value other than that point to this Das HaKinim, and an interesting question. So it's worth addressing it just for that. So first, he starts off by quoting Rashi, who talks about how, you know, each Makkah was for a quarter of the month, and there was the three quarters of the month was the warning for the Makkah. And then he says the last couple of days of the month, right? Because if we know that it's over here, the pasuk points out that this was the first Makkah was 7 days, and he says really all of them were 7 days. So 4 times 7 is 28. So you have 2 days left over. So he says that the Das HaKinim says that okay, that's okay. It's just, you know, they had a couple of extra days, you know, to recuperate after the 4 weeks of warning and plague before the next plague would start. And then he addresses a question that the Midrash also addresses that according to Chazal, Makas Choshech was 6 days, right? The Psukim might seem to imply that there were 3 days of darkness and 3 days of very intense darkness where nobody could move, which is only 6 days overall. So he quotes the Midrash Shmos Rabba, which says that the seventh day of Choshech was delayed until Kriyas Yamsuf, and then there was an extra darkness that was there. Okay, but then the Das HaKinim says something interesting. He says, Ve'itmar b'Hagadosh al Pesach, that it was stated in the Hagadosh al Pesach, and it quotes a famous line that we all know, that Rabbi Yehuda haya nosin b'hem simanim tzach hadash b'achav. Rabbi Yehuda gave a mnemonic, tzach hadash b'achav, which stands for Dam Sfardei Akin Arav Darishchin Bar Arav Choshech Machas Bechoros, or not Machas Bechoros, Bechoros, right? The ten Makos are it's an acronym for the ten Makos. And the Bali Tosas say that people ask, what's the nafkamina? Why do we need this simon? What's the help of this mnemonic device? Like, what's the benefit? In fact, to elaborate the question, in general, we have a principle in Torah Shebaal Peh of simonim. You see this through many, many times throughout Shas, where there is a, right, in simon echel, the simon for this, the way to remember this, the trick to remember this, because Torah Shebaal Peh was Baal Peh. It was orally transmitted. You weren't allowed to write it down, and in order to remember things, that you could make these mnemonics. But you wouldn't really need that for the ten makos, because that's explicit in the Torah Shebiksav. It says in the Psukim, Dam Tzardei Akinu Marav. It says these things in the Psukim, so it doesn't really seem so helpful that Rabbi Yehuda gives us this mnemonic. What's the purpose of it? And the Das HaKinim is going to give, I would call it, three answers to this question. The first one, I'm not so sure what he's saying, and maybe you could help me out with this. And I see parts of it. I think I get parts of it. But he says the following. He quotes the Riva, who just mentions that the Riva was named after his father, who is also, so the Riva, Rav Yitzchak ben Rav Asher, was born on the day that a different Rav Yitzchak bar Asher passed away, and he was called in his name, and he mentions the following point. He says that when you place datzach hadash ba'achav ze al ze, when you stack them up on top of each other, it sounds like. So he says that you will find that in every way, right, timtza b'chol inyan b'tchila b'emtza b'sof, whether it's you look at the beginning, the middle, or the end, choshech shchin kinim. You'll see choshech shchin and kinim. I don't know what exactly that means. That if you look at them in all different directions, but he continues to say, "Lomer shloshdan mishamshin ke'echad." This teaches us that all three of them, choshech, shchin, and kinim, the darkness, the boils, and the lice, all acted as one. And he says, "Lo es parash ketzav." I'm not going to explain how you see that or how it came about. And then he also says, "Vegamsa nimsa sheyehe choshech lehefech." Also, it comes out that you're going to see choshech lehefech, opposite or backwards. So this much I see, right? If you put the word datzach and then you put under it a dash, and you put under it ba'achav. So you, if you look at the ches of achav, and look on top of that is a shin, and on top of that is a chav, so it spells choshech backwards. So that part I get. I don't know the significance of it. He's going to say v'haya omer shachoshech mishamashim kulan. So he's saying essentially that choshech came by all the makos. There was an aspect of choshech by every maka. Presumably, it was the strongest by the by makos choshech. However, there was an aspect of darkness by all the makos. And the light just continue. V'gam shetasim choshech shechin kinim. Also, when you place choshech on top of shechin and kinim, timsa b'chol t'chila b'sof choshech shechin kinim. And so he says that it comes out that. That at the beginning and the end, it's choshech shin and kinim. Now this I might have an insight to what it's saying, that if you put the word choshech on top of the word shin, and you put kinim under that, but you have to spell them chaser. So meaning you take away the vav of choshech and the yud of shin and the yud of kinim, and if you ignore the difference between the sophist letters and the regular letters, so. If they're stacked up and they're lined up, you can write it out for yourself to see this. But you'll see it spells if you read it across, it says these three makos. And also if you read it going down, so like if let's say you made it into a chart, so each if you read it as if they were columns, you'll see these three makos. And if you read it as if they were rows, you'll also see it as if there's these three makos. And he says that indicates lomar shalosh ton mishamshin ba'ruvuvia imacherim v'losh parashkot keitza. He says, and then you'll see that all of these makos, all three of these, acted together, and they were all with the other makos. So that there's an aspect of Choshech, Shechin, and Kinim, there's something unique to each of these, that they were all present at least in each other's makos, though less prominent than the main maka itself. And it could be that they even had a role in some of the other makos. Definitely Choshech did. So when there was Dam, there was Tsardeya, so there was also an element of Choshech. And when there was Kinim, there was also an element of Shechin and an element of Choshech. So that's the first answer. So basically, this simen is part of like this whole trick and this code that if you line up the letters, it indicates secret messages, which implies that certain makos had a role in the other makos. So I don't fully understand the remez that the Bali Tosfos are saying, nor do I understand the implications properly, but to point out that question of what's the significance of Nitzach Hadash V'Achav, and that's what they're trying to address. I think that's valuable in its own right. And then through that also, we have another couple of answers. They also say that a simple answer that you could say is that it's coming to teach you the order of the makos, right? And don't think that it's like the Seder HaKasuv BaSefer Tehillim, right? In Sefer Tehillim, in Perek Ayin Ches, so it also like recaps the makos, and the order is a little bit different than the order we have here. So you might not know, because Ein Muktam Muchar BaTorah, you might not know whether the makos were in order as recorded in the Chumash or as in Tehillim. So the trick to remember the order is the Tzach Hadash B'Achav, and that's another pshat. So meaning we can't rely on the psukim themselves in the Chumash. You would need to have this oral component of Tzach Hadash B'Achav to remind me that the order was as it says in the Chumash and not as it says in Tehillim. So that's the second answer. And then the third answer is Inami Leida Bi Zo Hayamasra Bi Zo Inamasra. He says that maybe it'll teach you that this one had warning, this one didn't have a warning. And it says, Bechol maka shlishis lo haya masra. Basically, that there wasn't a warning by the third maka of these three sets. Meaning, if you break it up by Tzach Hadash B'Achav, what comes out is that you have three sets. It's not one long, you know, list of makos, but it's three sets of makos. There's the Tzach, the first set, the Adash, and then Ba'achav. It could be even the third one is Ba'ach, and like we just attach Bechoros because you don't want to have the base by itself. But it's like three sets of makos, and you look at the third one of each. The third one of each didn't have a warning. They give a pshat to why that might be. That he doesn't have a you know, that he mentions that someone does something an avera twice. He's a repeat offender. So the third time, the punishment gets more harsh, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin. But the main point here is that an answer to the question is that by saying the tzachadash ba'achav, what we're doing is effectively breaking up the makos into three sets. And then there's a lot to derive from there. And a lot of mafarjim do speak about how there were three different sets. And the precedent for viewing the makos in three different sets is Rabbi Yehuda Siman of the Tzach HaDash Bachav, and that is the third answer of the Das Sekenim.